Hey guys, this is Kirk Smith. My show about mental illness, entitled This Is Crazy, is back. This month, we are at the Westside Comedy Theater in beautiful Santa Monica, May 29th, 7 p.m. The lineup includes Andy Hayes, David Waite. JJ's in the background here, he's very excited. And also we have Dan St. Germain. It's going to be a great show. I hope you can make it out. And enjoy this week's episode of Autastic.
Little bit Latin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Autastic.
Yes.
It is the Comedian's Guide to Autism. I am Graham Kay. And over there is...
I'm Kirk Smith.
There he is. Kirk Smith has an autistic son. I have an autistic brother. We're two comedians living in L.A. trying to figure out the autism world. Autism is
and life.
Doom and gloom out there, and we want a little island of happiness for you guys out there
and who encouragement
who live with autism. We're living. We're doing it. We're having fun. We love our loved ones. And
that's true.
Yeah. So basically, if you're new to the podcast, we like to split it up into three categories. First off, we like to do our weekly roundup, what happened this week in our lives with our loved ones, and then we like to go we like to do a in the news, and then we do a topic du jour. So first off, let's do the weekly roundup with Kirk Smith. Kirk had a big week.
I had a big week. Yeah, mm-hmm. I flew to Sweden. I was in Sweden for a week to visit my son, and it was great. It was it's always an exciting week. His mom went to Holland to visit a friend, and so I had him by myself for a while, and it was exciting. It was exciting. It was an exciting exciting time.
So she had a week off.
Yeah, it was
a
good.
Much-needed week off.
She deserves it, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a full week. She had some issues, but it was she definitely had
some time off.
Yeah, so it was great.
That's good.
So it was great, yeah.
That's nice of you to fly to Sweden to give her a little breather. Obviously, you miss your son, so.
It was good to see him. You know, you deal with, I think as most parents of like split families, you deal with guilt surrounding the time you spend with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't win, though, because it's like you got to work.
Yeah.
You have another kid you need to spend time with. You got to, so, you know, mm-hmm. you do your best and then just try to let it go. He's taking to do this new thing I was telling you off air, where when it's time to change his clothes or get in the shower or something, he will take off his sweatpants. It's all sweatpants for him. And then instead of taking off his underwear or boxers, he will stick his hands in between the pee hole of the boxers and then rip them off like he's Superman tearing off his tearaway clothes.
He-Man or yeah. Hulk Hogan.
It's Hulk Hogan. That's what it is.
he's Hoganing his... You got to get him no pee holes.
And you know, and they're not free. Well, he could do it without the pee hole too.
No, man, he's strong.
He's a strong
he's
little
a big boy.
Stinker. Yeah.
And then like, I love that you call him a little stinker. It's like you
he's bigger than me.
So obvious how much you love him.
Well, so when I go, what are you doing? Because I get upset. You know, those stupid underwears aren't free. And then he'll run and sit on the bathroom like, oh, I had to go to the bathroom. But then he doesn't go.
He's so lying to you.
Yeah. He's lying.
He gets it. He understands completely what's going on.
He's being manipulative.
You know what he's doing is because it's just easier than taking off your sweatpants. And I will say, as a guy who's experimented with no underwear and sweatpants, it feels great.
Commando.
I get it.
I get it. But I don't want to pay for the stuff that he rips out by hand. But yeah, it's another issue.
Underwear is not free.
No.
You have to buy cheap bulk earphones from China and underpants.
I'm already buying cheap bulk underpants from Walmart, which is China.
For our new listeners, Kirk buys like in the hundreds, like a pack of 50 of earbuds.
Yeah, I think it's 92 lots or 98 lots and 98 individual headphones. Like the kind they hand out on airplanes that are just cheap, disposable.
Because he just rips them and just destroys them.
So it's
That's
much
so
cheaper.
Funny.
$1.
He's just going to have to go commando.
I was so frustrated about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know how it is. It's like the commando, it's that old joke. It looks like when he takes off his pants, it looks like it's a coal miner's brow in there. So you're like, just wear the underwear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
Jeez.
I know.
Yeah. So you think he's going to grow out of it? Or it's a new thing?
I don't know. The ripping is definitely new. I don't know if he's ever, it wasn't always that strong where you just, you know, cloth doesn't rip that easily. So I hope he grows out of it. You know, he used to kind of rip his shirts off. He doesn't do that anymore. So, yeah, it's a possibility.
Well, if he doesn't rip his shirts off.
Yeah, it's no more Hulk Hogan up top.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he'll grow out of it. It can be uncomfortable. And it's, You know when he gets older and he's like, I don't want to do it. It just hurts too much. He's not going to do it anymore.
Not going to rip anymore?
Yeah, and it's about 30. He'd be like, ah, my elbow hurts.
30. So he's 30. I'll be, how old did I tell you I am? I'll be dead. I'm joking. I'll be fine.
Is he 18 yet?
He's 18 in a few months. Yeah. Cool. This winter he's 18. Yeah. I guess more 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do? I bought him a big scooter. That, you know, like those little scooters, the Razor scooters. They make them for adults too now. Yeah. So we went to the skate park a bunch.
Those pictures are cute.
It was good. It was good. It was a beautiful spring in Sweden.
He looks healthy.
Yeah. He you know, a long time listeners remember he had that that where he went under the mouth surgery. So when he did that, they did like a full body checkup, I guess, and everything's fine. He's going to live forever.
Great.
But he's doing great. It was a great week. I told you I screwed up, and I when I bought the ticket, there was a sale, and it was
Kirk is like a points guy.
Yeah. So if you follow, there's a couple websites like Flyer Talk that if you follow, you can fly for free a lot. You do these credit card mile things, and so and every once in a while I'll pay because if you pay, you get double miles, and there'll be a sale. So they had a sale from Gothenburg, Sweden, to LA. So great. So I looked on the map. That's like 2 inches from where I'm going on the map on my phone.
Yeah.
And I didn't check the actual
mileage. You should have zoomed in more.
Yeah. I knew it was farther than Stockholm, but I didn't know exactly. 8 hours. It was an 8-hour drive in a car. So it was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Huge mistake.
Colossal.
So I flew in. I left here like 5 o'clock.
All the money you saved, you spent on gas in a car, probably.
Yeah. Horsing around for 8 hours in the middle of the night.
Oh, you were driving in the middle of the night?
Yeah, I arrived there 11 p.m. It was a little late, so it was 11:30. I had to rent a car and then drive to like 7 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, not fun.
The things you do.
It was a mistake. Huge mistake.
Huge mistake. I was like, well, at least you got to see Sweden. You got to drive through Sweden.
I've done that drive before because I'm an idiot. So, yeah.
You have done that drive before?
Yeah, we do like...
You've made that mistake twice?
No, so I used to work in an orphanage in Romania in the 90s, and so I go back every few years, so...
We all did. Come on.
So last year, we bought a car for a guy who runs this ministry. You know, I'm a church guy. So we bought a car in Sweden and then drove it to Romania because cars are cheaper in Germany and Sweden and then more expensive in Romania. So we thought it'd be a fun adventure, me and a buddy of mine.
Yeah, it's an awesome adventure.
So it was. So I've seen that drive. There's nothing. It's just trees. It's just pine. Just soft pine, as far as I can see.
All the way to Romania. Romania's far. You got to go through like Germany. You got to go.
Drive.
You got to like go through Greece, don't you?
No. Greece is farther south. No. We have Greece, Austria, Hungary.
Hungary, and then former Yugoslavia.
No, we didn't go that direction. Well, we did go Czech Republic, but wasn't really on the way. But just to see Prague, yeah.
Yeah.
You've lived in Prague, right?
I lived in Budapest.
Budapest, sorry. Hungary, right.
Yeah. But my family is from around there.
That's what it is. Slovenia.
Slovakia.
Okay. Slovenia.
Czechoslovakia. Split into two in 1993.
It was the only one that was split without a shot being fired, I believe. Because the Yugoslavia's had some problems, but Czech Republic never fought each other.
No. We're better than them.
Czechs and...
We're civilized.
Yeah, you didn't have the problems they had in Serbia. Whoa, this podcast got really derailed all of a sudden. Turned into history-tastic.
Well, we don't... You know what it was? Is we didn't have... They were different countries. They were like a bunch of different countries before with different ethnicities.
Yeah,
and there was just a big land grab in the middle. They had a bunch more problems.
Talk about Yugoslavia?
Yeah. And we were never held together by a strong dictator, so it was the easy breakup, you know, where it was just like, they had, who cares? But anyway, all I'm saying, I'm just sort of trying to retract my xenophobic statement. I'm kidding. They had a lot more problems.
I was letting you out to dry. I'm like, hey, he said it. Whatever Graham said. Don't worry, we lost all the listeners in the West anyway. So that was my week of reviews.
There's one guy, we have one listener in Zagreb right now, like, no, what?
Writing us an angry email.
He's just writing a letter.
It's not even an email, it's an actual letter.
Yeah.
He's going to mail it with a stamp. Yeah,
he's got a Lada typewriter. Now that is racist.
No, I think Lada makes typewriters.
I doubt they did. But anyway, to our former Yugoslavian Nation's listeners.
A thousand apologies.
A thousand apologies.
Jokes, man. Just jokes.
Yeah, just
So that was my week, man. I got back. Graham picked me up in my daughter's car. I felt like a donator on Patreon.
Yeah.
Because Graham picked me up in the airport.
Yeah, so. Dry run.
Yeah, I can guys do it. Know he can't do it. Yeah. I have personal experience.
Oh, and to the donators out there, we are putting together packages to send to you.
Yes.
We are doing that. We actually are going to do it.
We need to do that. Let's
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, we've been meaning to get around to it. We're going to do it. We talked about it last week. You're going to get it, I promise. We're excited. I'm excited to make these packages.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great.
Actually, you can help us. If you've donated, you should write us at the email or the Facebook. Let's consolidate. Email or Facebook, what are we going to do? And then we'll have the addresses where we want to send them. That's a good idea. I can edit this out if you want.
No. We do the classic thing where we say let's edit it out, then leave it in.
Do.
Yeah. We let you behind the curtain here at Autastic.
Oh, and it's filthy back there.
It is. So let's go to
let's say email.
autasticpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you're we will cross reference your name as a donor with so we don't just get 100 donors. But yeah, if you donated, was it $5 a month? There's something coming to you. Send us the address where you'd like it to be shipped.
autasticpodcast@gmail.com. Yes, and like I said, you're gonna get books, comedy albums, Rice Krispies with ketchup recipes and ingredients.
I think it's audiobooks, just to be clear. Yeah.
Okay, audiobooks. Yes.
Singular.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Just to be clear out there, if you're deaf and you were really hoping for a visual
books,
for a book.
There's no books.
There's no books. And I commend you for listening to this podcast. You've really fought through it.
If you were deaf and from Yugoslavia, we doubly apologize.
Should we transfer into the news? Oh, you know what else I did?
What'd you do?
Am I in the news? I bought my brother a birthday present.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We can review. What'd you get him? Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Nice.
Absolutely. Working on the collection. Got a new X-Wing fighter. Got Biggs. So Biggs is another.
Biggs is the heavyset guy.
He's his buddy.
Biggs is big.
Yeah, okay. And So now he has two X wings with Luke Skywalker and Biggs, his buddy, on his wing, and they're both so he can play. He's got a whole thing he can play.
Biggs, like white Biggie.
Yeah, exactly. First, okay. That's what Biggie Smalls got is from.
Is
got
really?
His name from. Yep.
That's
yep.
Funny.
Big Star Wars fan. It's not. You believe me, and I didn't know why. Anyway,
I was playing along. I thought this was yes and.
Yeah. I spent way too much on. It's like because I got to ship them to Canada and there's international shipping, so that it's like more than I bought it for is shipping. So annoying because they discontinued them 20 years ago. These toys and I have to buy them in the original box and all this junk. My brother fell in love with. We at a garage sale. I bought him the Millennium Falcon in the box that it came in. And then the box had different toys on it, so he just wants it.
It's a wish list.
But it's from 25 years ago or something. They don't make it anymore, so I have to find them online on eBay. It's a real nightmare, and he rips it open as soon as he gets it and throws out the boxes. So whatever. Anyway, it's a pleasure to do. It is. It makes me happy. I get to shop for toys twice a year.
It's great.
It's pretty awesome. Should we go into the news?
Let's do the news, man. So this was an interesting article. This was on on the website undark.org, which is the beauty, truth, beauty, and science. And the title is The Invisibility of Black Autism. Now, this jumped out at us because as long-time listeners or short-time listeners know...
Yeah, it was like 3 episodes ago.
We covered this recently, is autism a white thing? Which I had several people message me and say, no, it wasn't, which meant they clearly hadn't listened to the episode.
Yeah. I love that. No, it's not.
Like, yeah, I know. We covered it in a whole episode, 30 minutes.
Yeah, you're supposed to click on that and then find the answer.
Yeah, not just rebuttal. That's not my opening statement.
Thanks for writing in. Appreciate it.
The Invisibility of Black Autism, the subtitle is Clinical Bias and Ignorance Have Led to Generations of Clearly Autistic Black Children being diagnosed as ADHD or even, quote-unquote, mental retardation instead. And it's a very interesting article about Mark Twain riding across in 1860s, riding across Illinois by train and sitting next to a quote-unquote burly Negro man on the opposite side of the car. He later wrote, who began to sway his body violently back and forth and mimic with his mouth the hiss and clatter of the train in the most savagely excited way, which reminded me of my son. He does this thing where he rocks back and forth
right.
and mimics the sounds. And then he talks about how upset he was that the conductor didn't wrestle him to the ground, forcibly silence him.
Mm-hmm.
And then later he turns out that Mark Twain finds out that this guy's name is Thomas Wiggins, the stage name Blind Tom. And he was the first African-American musician in history to play a command performance at the White House.
So cool.
President Buchanan. Several months after their serendipitous meeting on the train, Twain became one of Wiggins' biggest fans, sitting raptly in the audience in San Francisco for three nights running as the man played his original compositions.
I love when racists turn their...
Get their comeuppance?
Yeah. Racist and... what is that, whatever the word is for people who are mean to people with developmental delays, disabilities. I don't know what the word is.
Anti-autistics?
Jerks.
Yeah. Small-minded people.
Yeah. So Mark...
People without compassion.
Old Mark Twain, became a big fan. I had never heard of this guy, Blind
Neither
Tom.
Neither did I.
Yeah, and he played at the White House, and he was a savant.
He's an autistic savant. Yeah, we YouTube some of his music. We could play a little clip here.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll play it underneath what we're talking about right now. Hey, ooh. Us in the future. Good editing job.
Good, yeah.
Kirk, I like how you faded this in. I like how you faded in like a real pro.
I'm just happy I was able to find it.
Yeah.
It sounds an awful lot like Run DMZ, too. I just like pick some different music and edit it in.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Beastie Boys for some reason.
No, but I love that. I love that. It's interesting to me for a couple reasons. One, he's African American, so clearly there are African American autistic people. Obviously, this is from the 1860s, so we don't really have a clear diagnosis, but it seems pretty much like if he was alive today, he would be diagnosed on the spectrum. And it's also interesting to me that autism did exist before 1975 or whatever the heck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It goes how it's probably been there forever. So maybe... There are more environmental reasons. I mean, we've talked to Jill about this in the past, but it has always existed. And it's interesting to me as well that in the 1860s, this autistic man, Mark Twain, was upset that he wasn't put in shackles before he knew that he was a famous musician.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive to me that he must have had handlers, loved ones, taking care of him, guiding him, dressing him, whatever need be, getting people to not put him in shackles on the train.
Yeah, I'm trying to comment, but it's so sad. It just drives you bananas. You know, the like, what do you, where the, one of the solutions was. And listen, Mark Twain is one of the most gifted writers, American writers ever, but man, his racist stuff is crazy. Like the stuff that he says comes out of his mouth. Jeez Louise, it's like, it's
he's a
hideous.
Man. He's a.
He's a product of his time, so I get it. But at the same time,
yeah, there was also people of his time, white people who
weren't saying you should shackle people. Yeah, jeez Louise.
Like the president.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So yeah.
And if I remember, we read this before. It was I believe he was a he previously was a farm worker, wasn't he? A freed slave, wasn't Wiggins?
I can't remember.
I think we read that, didn't we?
I just love that somebody gave him, and found his gift and fostered it for him. Back then,
yeah,
you know,
somebody teamed up with him. Yeah, no man does anything alone.
Exactly, somebody helped him and was there with him his whole life, and people gave him a chance.
Yeah.
You know, people let him do his thing. People let him record music. People let him perform at the White House.
Well, because this was another part of it. Because he almost, quote unquote, this is a quote from the article, he almost never spoke his own expressive language. Instead, he echoed phrases he had heard said around him. And if he wanted something, would grunt and tug at the hand of the nearest person to direct him to the thing he desired.
Sounds like your son, right?
Exactly like my son. Even the stuff he says is he's echoing back something he's heard.
It's amazing to me what is inside some autistic people's heads.
Yeah.
I before this podcast was prejudiced. I would think that there's nothing
going on in there.
Really, yeah. You know, and this guy, he was hearing the sound of the clickety clack of the train, and he enjoyed the music, the sound so much. He saw music in it and composed these beautiful things. I don't know. I think it's so cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love history, guys. That's the end of the. That's it. Good night.
He just throws down the mic and walks out of my apartment.
Yeah, Kirk found this article, and I was like playing on my phone. When he was telling me about it, and then I was like,
"This is my favorite."
I slowly peeked up, and I was like, "This is my favorite." Anyway.
Hey guys, I'm excited to announce this week we have a special guest. We've got Jill Escher once again back. She's the president of the San Francisco chapter of Autism Speaks, and she is at a conference about autism, a science conference, and we thought we would have her call in and give us an update as our science correspondent, keep us in the loop as to what's happening in the autism world. Here's that interview. Hey Jill, how you doing? Thank you so much for calling in.
Hello, Kirk. Hello, Graham.
Hi. Good to hear from you again.
Good to hear from you. Sorry we had the little technical snafu at the beginning. Here we go. We're ready. Yes, I just got back from a trip to Sweden. It was great. It was great to see my son. How are you?
I was not in Sweden. I was in Baltimore.
Ooh.
Why are you bragging so much?
But, you know, as your roving science correspondent,
yes.
So I actually, I was last week in Baltimore at the annual IMFAR conference. IMFAR stands for the International Meeting for Autism Research, and it's the world's biggest autism conference, and it has like 2,000 researchers like all under one roof.
Wow.
That's so, actually really encouraging and makes me feel good, seriously.
Yeah, it's been going on for years, and it's a meeting that keeps growing and growing and growing, and involves many, many aspects of autism research. So, you know, everything from, like, you know, causation issues to therapy to diagnostics to services to family support. You know, it's a whole kind of smorgasbord and kind of a schmooze fest as well. But
did you did you attend that annually?
You know, this is my first time going. So for me, it was a little bit of a treat to check out the little, you know, a little bit of the science world. I'm very much an autism science junkie. And so, you know, for me, it's kind of like, you know, somebody going to Hollywood and seeing a bunch of celebrities. You know, for me, it's like, right. Oh, that researcher, this researcher. I mean, it's a great
cool.
place for a geek. So
that's really
yeah,
great.
So,
that's...
I mean, and it's so big. I mean, it's like, you know.
How many people? You know, how many scientists would you say were there, or researchers?
I think, you know, probably a good 2,000. And it's mostly scientists, but there are also some enthusiasts like me and funders and, you know, what they call stakeholders, you know, parents, people on the spectrum, you know, family members, service providers. It's a diverse, but it's the core audience is researchers for sure.
Let's get right into it. So you, we talked a little bit off air via email, and you had said, oh, it's this many days. And so you went to a bunch of different talks. What was the most eye-opening thing you saw or heard that you were like, wow, I wasn't aware of that?
What's exciting? What's exciting that came out of that conference to you? What jumped out at you that was interesting?
Okay, well, I want to put a little caveat here in that it's really a giant conference, and I only saw a sliver of the presentations and the posters.
And you're explaining it to two idiots. We get it.
Oh, come on, you're scientists by now.
Yeah, right.
And so I have to admit that, you know, it's kind of like hands on the elephant, right? So I saw a certain part of it based on what I'm interested in, but somebody else could go to the same conference and see something very different. I mean, I have to say that I don't mean to be a letdown for your wonderful audience members. I mean, there was nothing in this conference that stood out as sort of a major finding, a major advance, you know, headline news. I mean, I didn't walk away feeling that way, but I am also a little bit resigned to the fact that at this point, autism research is incredibly incremental and slow. And
as
it's
you
not
know
just
from a personal standpoint, personal experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing autism research support for, you know, more than a decade, and it's very slow. But, you know, it's not like we're learning nothing. I mean, for example, I think that if there's one really powerful theme that I walked away with, it's that there really is now a very broad consensus that there's really no such thing as autism, you know, in quotes, and that, you know, this spectrum is really a group of a variety of mental disorders with a variety of causes, including multiple, you know, genetic and environmental factors and a variety of manifestations. I mean, you guys already know that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also
growing. Okay.
Yes, I mean, people both in sessions and outside of sessions, you know, one-to-one, there's a little bit of, I almost call it an exasperation with a sort of overpiling together of the autism. And there's also a feeling that, you know, by lumping too many different conditions together, it may be tainting research.
Right.
On, you know, causation and therapeutics, mm-hmm. right? Because if you're not really looking at the same thing, your data is going to be junk.
Realize that is progress, and that takes a while to figure that out. So this is that in itself, in my mind, is a step in the right direction. We didn't know that even 2 years ago, probably. So
no, I agree. I think that we're still combing through, of course, you know, the causes and the manifestations and what they mean. But you know, it's a wickedly complex set of disorders, and it's certainly not getting simpler. You know, just the genetics itself. I mean, there was a speaker who talked about all of the what are called de novo mutations, which is something I talked about when I was first on your show. But, you know, these genetic glitches, these weirdo genetic glitches that show up in the kids that weren't in the parents, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, we now know there are at least 50 of them, right? And probably, you know, 80 or 100, really, that we have, you know, yet to kind of fully comprehend. And, you know, just that alone is incredibly complex. And then you put on top of that, and there was a lot of talk at this conference about gene-environment interaction, you know, a layer of environmental information, you know, that may be perturbing the genetic expression and the genetic function.
Let me ask you a question, yeah. just for laymans out there.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that there are environmental factors that might be changing someone's genetics?
Yes. Yes, there were a number of speakers and sections on the topic of gene-environment interaction. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's a pretty broad category. What does gene-environment interaction mean? But one sub-theme is that you could be susceptible, right, more susceptible, right, than the next person to a pollutant or to a toxicant.
Sure.
And that could lead to dysregulation of certain really fundamental neurodevelopment genes. And there were some examples given, you know, that have to do with, you know, pollution, you know, elements of pollution, mm-hmm. elements in mm-hmm. pesticides, mm-hmm. and also inflammation. Inflammation was a
And let me just be clear, none of them were vaccine related.
No. Hopefully we're long past, you know, the day when we're mm-hmm. considering that as a risk factor.
Unfortunately, we're not, so it's important to say.
Yeah, that's very fair. That's very fair. I think there's a lot of interest in what could be perturbing our gene function, but vaccines aren't among them. But that said, there was also some emerging evidence that what might be happening is very diverse in terms of its inputs, but they may be converging on common circuitry and common pathways in the brain. So you might have, like, you know, a dozen or two dozen different causes, but they might converge on the same activity in mm-hmm. terms of neurological functioning. And, you know, one of the speakers really highlighted the idea that the synapse is that space between neurons in which various chemicals are transmitted, and it is what enables our neurons to connect and to operate.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are thinking that it's really, we really have to look harder at what's going on in the synapse of these autism brains to figure out, you know, if there's a possible common denominator, and if so, if it can be treated therapeutically. I mean, we're years away from really getting it, but that was a very interesting direction for me.
The conference was both dealing with possible future therapeutic options as well as preventative. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. It's such a conglomeration of everybody that, you know, there are people interested in all facets mm-hmm. of autism. And, you know, people really do want to find therapeutics, even though, you know, it's obviously not going to be easy with such a complex.
Change the subject back. Mm-hmm. Sorry, we got a bit of delay. I cut you off. When you say there's like rock stars of research. How does that work? Is like, is there a certain researcher that you follow and you're like, this guy, and he works at MIT and he's doing this and I want to talk to him about, are you being serious? Are you being facetious? Or how does that work exactly? Do you actually follow specific researchers and what they're doing?
Yeah, I'm a stalker. No, here's the thing. I mean, I'm really super geek. I devour autism research. I've been doing that for a long time. And I also have my own set of research that I sponsor. So I'm personally in touch with autism researchers really around the world.
So what gets you excited? Like, what kind of research gets you excited that you see going on? Maybe there was nothing groundbreaking at this conference, but you're like, this guy's working or this lady's working on something, and in a few years, this is what the possibilities hold. Like, why are you getting excited so that our listeners can be informed?
Well, as I talked about it when I was first on your show, my personal area of interest isn't just in the mutations we see in autism. My personal interest is in what's causing those mutations, right? Are they induced by something? All these genetic glitches, and probably epigenetic glitches, which, again, complicated, but I talked about before, those might have certain origins that we might want to be thinking about. And so that's my interest. And that really didn't come to the fore at this particular conference. It's very kind of cutting edge stuff. But the other area of interest for me was definitely highlighted at this conference, which was fantastic. And it's the dearth of understanding and the dearth of emphasis on this rapidly growing adult autism population. We have all these kids with autism becoming adults with autism, and we don't know much about the population numbers. We don't know much about what interventions are best for them. We don't know much about their long-term trajectories. I think that everybody at that conference really appreciated that we have to redouble our efforts to get our arms around, this adult autism crisis. There were not a lot of answers offered at the conference, but at least there is a common understanding that it's urgently important. The other good thing is that I want to mention is next year the meeting is in San Francisco, where I come from.
We'll have
it's
to go
in California.
Up there.
What will Baltimore
so I'm
do?
Curious. Yeah, you guys can set up your little podcast booth and just grab random researchers.
That'd be great.
And these people,
that would be great.
I mean,
that's a great
they
idea.
Love talking about their research. They love it. I mean, they want to share everything. They're excited about what they're doing. They want to help families. I really felt that
you're
very
gonna
strongly.
You're going to have to introduce us and say, you have to explain it in words with 6 letters or less.
monkeys. Explain it to my monkeys.
So wait, quick follow-up to the last question. Not everybody on this podcast is interested in science, but we have several thousand listeners. So statistically, there's a few hundred people that would be interested. Who should they keep an eye out and follow if they're interested in learning more about this research? Are there specific scientists or programs they can look at?
I'll give you one tip
here
on that. So there is an organization funded by a foundation called the Simons Foundation. It's called Spectrum News. And you can follow it on Twitter. You can follow it on Facebook. You can just look it up. Just type in Spectrum News Autism, into Google, and it will pop up. And I think, although the stuff there is a little sciencey, I think they do a really good job of capturing a lot of important emerging trends and a little summaries of new research. So for the junkies like me, start off with Spectrum News.
Joke,
and Autism Speak too. Autism Speak does a good job of communicating science, so you get on their website as well. I would go there.
Joe, we're pressed for time, but we really appreciate you checking in and letting our listeners know, letting us know about what's going on.
Jill, thank you so much.
Well,
great job. Thank you so much.
All right, I'm not a comedian, but I try.
No. No, we need you to make us smarter. It's a symbiotic relationship that we have here. So we appreciate it, and can't wait to talk to you soon.
Okay, bye, gentlemen.
Bye.
Bye. I think we did it.
Kirk, any last words?
No,
not in your life. I mean, you got a full life ahead
murdered?
Of you.
Murdered? What's happening?
No, you got a great head of hair.
Did you just check my hair? I just saw you look up at my hair.
I'm just jealous. I'm jealous. I'm losing my hair. I bought Rogaine, guys.
Don't be jealous. I drove 8 hours through the Swedish tundra to see my son after flying for 15 hours.
I'm just trying to let you know what you do have.
Huge mistake.
Yeah.
No, guys, thank you so much for the... I'm not going to list the Patreon again, but the Patreon donors, but we picked up some few more donors. We will list them next episode. Thank you so much for everybody's donation.
And it's
on Patreon.
Patreon.com/autastic.
You want to spell Patreon? Because I cannot.
patreon.com/autastic. To be a donor. And I'm trying to think of another analogy than less than a cup of coffee a week.
Slurpee, we said one time.
We said Slurpee. Less than a
pack of cigarettes a month.
Way less than a pack of cigarettes a week. Yeah.
About a
and
week.
In New York, like that's like
a month.
A month, yeah.
Guys, Twitter.
Yeah.
Graham K Comedy.
At Graham K Comedy. And at Kirk Smith Comedy.
Instagram the same.
Yeah. And you can find us on Facebook, our autistic page.
Please like us. Please take a second to review us on iTunes if you haven't already. Guys, we couldn't do this without you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. Thanks,
have a great
guys.
Week, guys.
I think you're neat. Thanks.